welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. If you've not already, I do encourage you to check out my ebooks, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, and the sequel, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. Each book examines the careers and histories of seven great fictional detectives and policemen, as well as life lessons that can be learned from them. The detectives we look at include Boston Blackie, Columbo, Monk, and many more. You can also get them as audiobooks through audible.com or the iTunes store. Well, now it's time for today's episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. The original air date is June the 24th, 1957, and this is Ghost in the Sea Blue Dress.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, if it meant saving your husband's life, you'd be happy to become a ghost for a few minutes. Now, wouldn't you? That is, of course, if your husband happened to be Greg Collins, the famous private detective. And you happen to be his wife, Gail, and... Oh, look, I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
And, Jack, I call this puzzle...
Yes, Gail?
The Ghost in the Sea Blue Dress.
You said you became a ghost for a few minutes. I thought once people went in for that, it was a permanent occupation.
Patience, lad. You see, we were in Greg's office in San Francisco, our headquarters. Greg had some very fascinating clients. But the gentleman he was expecting that day was strange indeed. Greg was telling me about him.
You've seen him on the stage, Gail, remember? The great Mondesa, the magician.
You mean the one who swings way out over the audience on a trapeze, with handcuffs and chains on, and then comes down in 60 seconds free?
Yeah, that's the man. He's supposed to be one of the best in the business. He's a fellow who was buried alive in a special tomb, sealed with wax, and... Yeah, here he is now. Come in.
Wow. This doesn't look like the great Mondesa to me. More like Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, young lady. What can I do for you?
You're Mr. Collins?
Yes.
In a few minutes, a man will come here.
What man?
Is anything wrong? Do you feel sick? Can I help you? The man will come here... And he will...
Go on. What'll he do?
He will... die.
Greg!
How do you know he'll die?
Because...
Yeah?
Because I... killed him. Greg, she's fainting!
I got her. All right, Gail. Move that chair over here, will you?
Oh, here. Who is she, Greg? What do you think? Did you hear what she said?
Use a little of your first aid training. See if you can bring it to.
Do you think maybe she's been drugged?
I don't know. Come on, carry her into the other room. And get the magazines off that couch.
Okay. Put her down.
And there's our friend the magician, Mr. Mondesa. It's time for his appointment. Stay with her, Gail. I'll shut this door.
Don't be long.
Coming. Mr. Mondesa, what's wrong? You will? Gail! Gail!
Yes, Greg. What's happened?
What's happened? Exactly what the young lady said would happen. A man walked in here and died. That was the last trick that'll ever be performed by the great Mondesa.
He's dead.
He was leaning against the door, and when I opened it, he collapsed.
Going to call the police now?
Not yet. Let me think a second. Let's have a look at that girl inside.
Yes, Roger. She's about coming too.
Here, wake up. Come on, come on. That's it. Here, I'll help you sit up. Get some water for a girl.
Okay. I could use a little myself. Sorry, I felt so weak.
What's your name, ma'am?
Sheila Graham.
You're Mr. Mundy's secretary?
That's right.
Well, why did you come here, Miss Graham?
My mind is so... I'm so mixed up. I can't seem to think straight.
Mr. Mundy's has been here, too.
He has? But he couldn't. I thought he was...
Dead? You're right. He's in the next room. He came in here to talk to me, and he had a box of pills in his hand.
Vitamin pills? He always takes them at this time.
Yeah?
I poisoned those pills. I think I told him when I came in. I killed him. I killed him, I tell you.
Easy now, easy. Now, why did you do it? When? How?
Well, I can't remember. Something's wrong with me. I can't remember anything. The thoughts keep going around in my head. He sent me to see Don Aldo.
The spiritualist?
Yes. He was going to expose him as a fake.
Greg, why don't you let her rest a while?
Yeah, we're not doing too well with her in this state. Now lie back, Miss Graham. That's it. Now just calm down.
I killed him. I murdered Mandisa. I came to confess. I came to confess.
I don't understand it, Greg. She seems to be under the influence of a drug or something.
I think I got it figured, Gail. Just come outside. Let her rest. That's it. She said Mandisa sent her to see Donaldo, the spiritualist. Mandisa was planning an exposure of Donaldo. He must have sent the girl over to see what she could find out.
Where does that lead us?
I keep wondering why anyone would actually walk into a detective's office and admit to committing murder.
Well, it happened. How do you explain it?
Gail, did you ever hear of post-hypnotic suggestion?
No.
It's a very weird, amazing trick. When you get hypnotized, the person who is hypnotized, it can order you to do something hours later. Any time after you've been released from the spell.
Then will a person who was hypnotized really do it?
Sure. For instance, you could be told while stood in a hypnotic state that tomorrow at 5 you're to stand on your head. Sure enough, the next day at 5 you'll try to stand on your head. Just like that, all of a sudden. You wouldn't know why the devil you wanted to, either.
I'm beginning to see what you mean, Greg. You think Donaldo killed Mandisa. Then by using this post-hypnotic suggestion, he hypnotized Miss Graham. Told her to come here and confess.
Well, that's a theory, anyway.
Well, now we'll call the police, huh?
No, not yet. That girl's on the spot. We've got to find out more. You take Miss Graham, check into the Berkeley Carlton Hotel. Use two other names and stay there with her.
Right.
Don't let her go out. Don't answer the phone. Just sit there till you hear from me.
Where are you going?
To see Donaldo. I just remembered. I have an ugly friend who died about 5 years ago. Fine old chap. I'd like to speak to him. Maybe Donaldo can arrange it. Dear old Uncle Ephraim.
Keep your ears tuned, friends. We'll be back in a minute with more of the story. I took Sheila Graham and I booked us in at the Berkeley Carlton under assumed names. Meantime, Greg went to Donaldo's office. It wasn't an office, really. It was a production. It was a brownstone mansion with all the equipment you'd expect. Death masks on the walls, exotic oriental luck pieces on the tables, Hindu symbols painted on the ceiling. Donaldo fitted the setting. He was very much the ham actor portraying the mystic. He took Greg into his consultation room.
Now, Mr.
My name is Harvey, Mr. Donaldo.
Mr. Harvey, you would like to speak to someone on the other side?
Yes, Mr. Donaldo, my Uncle Ephraim.
Were you very close to him?
Very.
He and I were inseparable. He was like a second father to me.
Good. You see, the better the relation between two personalities on the lower or earthly sphere, the easier it is to establish contact when one of the personalities has gone beyond. The spirit of your uncle will be very cooperative.
Well, are you really sure I can talk to him?
Of course, Mr. Harvey. I will act as the, shall we say, the bridge between the two of you.
How much?
Oh, say, $50?
All right, it seems high, but I guess it's worth it.
Thank you. Now we shall proceed. Bob?
Yes, Mr. Donaldo.
Bob, we will have a seance now.
Yes, Mr. Donaldo. I'll see that you're not disturbed. I'll close the curtains.
Mr. Harvey, in order to speak to your uncle, you must be on the same plane of consciousness that he is. You must relax mentally. Your mind must submerge into a semi-conscious state. So, if you'll sit back in the chair, rest your head way back on the neck rest. Ah, that is fine. First, I shall turn on this light. Focus it on your eyes. It is rather bright, but you will become used to it. So, now, if you will relax, if you will imagine that every muscle, every nerve has been tense, but now it will relax. You are very tired. Your eyes are so tired. Tired. Concentrate on how you are relaxing from the top of your head down, down to your feet. A wave of rest engulfs you. You are tired. Mr. Harvey, speak to me. Speak to me.
How is he? Did you hypnotize him?
We shall see. Mr. Harvey, speak to me.
I don't want to speak. Just rest. Just rest.
Good. Now, the microphone, Bob. Go ahead. It's outside. Hurry.
Okay, boss. Okay.
Listen now, Mr. Harvey. The voice of your uncle calls to you from the land of the dead. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello. Hello.
Is that you, Uncle Ephraim?
Yes. Tell me, are you well?
Yeah, I'm fine.
How is the family?
They're all very happy and getting along nicely.
No. No, I have a strange feeling. Someone in the family is in danger. It is a man. He is many miles away. Thousands of miles away.
Oh, you mean my brother Al? Yeah, he's overseas.
I must know more of him so that I can protect him. I must know more of him.
Well, Al's with the Navy. On a ship near Formosa.
Greg, of course, hadn't been hypnotized at all. He just wanted Donaldo to think he was under a spell. But Greg was just as wide awake as ever. About 2 hours after, Greg came to our room at the Berkeley Carlton.
This man Donaldo's quite a fancy fella.
Did he hypnotize you too, Mr. Collins?
No, not quite. He thought he did, though.
Tell Greg what you told me, Sheila.
Well, Mr. Mondesa sent me over to see Donaldo. Just the way you went, Mr. Collins.
to sort of fish around and see what I could see.
Donaldo didn't know you were from Mandisa, did he?
No. He knows Mandisa's on his trail and he'd have thrown me out. Donaldo hated Mandisa. Mandisa knew all along he was taking his life in his hands. Donaldo had stopped at nothing to keep from having his racket exposed. And Mr. Donaldo started to talk to me in that smooth voice of his. And he turned on a big bright light. Made me dizzy. He hypnotized her, Greg. You were right. While she was under, he must have told her to go to your office and see if she killed Mandisa.
All right, Miss Graham, you wait here. I'll be back.
Where are you going now, Greg?
Back to Donaldo's.
Why?
Well, you got to get something definite on him. We won't get up sitting here talking.
I see. Well, Miss Graham, you wait here. We'll be back.
We will?
I let you go alone last time, Greg. That was only because Sheila was so sick. This time, I go.
If you don't stay out of these things...
Either you take me with you, or I go myself.
All right. Come on, Gail. Miss Graham, you stay here. No matter what happens, don't leave this room.
Greg and I hopped in our cab and raced to the Donaldo house. But this time, Greg didn't go in the front way. There was a terrace protruding from the second floor. It was late in the evening. The house didn't show any lights. No one could see us. So, in we climbed. After much maneuvering, we got inside.
Look around, Gail. And those papers on his desk. I'll look for a safe on the wall.
These are letters. Look like fan letters to Donaldo. Nothing much life, Bill.
Nothing over here. Might be something in the other room. I'll sneak inside. You keep looking around here. Go through the drawers on that desk.
All right. You be careful, Greg.
I will. Nothing there. Well, I better try to sign.
Looking for something, Mr. Hargy?
Yes, Donaldo. My Uncle Ephraim always used to give me cookies when I was a boy. Though it may be he left some for me at his last visit.
Stay right where you are, Hargy.
Wicked-looking knife you have in your hand. A present from one of your ghosts?
I used to do a knife-throwing act, Mr. Harvey, so I wouldn't advise you to start anything. Don't move. Keep your hands outside of your pockets. Bob?
Yes, Mr. Donaldo, I was just... Oh, we got a visitor. You again, huh? You must have liked talking to the spirits.
Bob, Mr. Harvey has the same unpleasant hobby that Mondiza had. He likes to stick his nose in here where he isn't wanted. I think we can cure him of that, eh, Bob?
Yeah. I got the cure in my pocket, with 6 bullets in it.
You weren't hypnotized the last time, I presume, Mr. Harvey.
No, I wasn't. Your technique needs brushing up.
See, boss? I told you you'd never do it right. You ain't never hypnotized nobody yet. You better read some more of those fancy books. The great Donaldo. First time in months he tried the old hypnosis gag, and it still don't work.
Shut up! Who sent you here, Harvey? What's your racket? And you can leave out the jokes because I want the right answer this time. I want the right answer or I'm going to start playing games with this knife.
The right answer, Donaldo, is that you're working one of the most amazing twists on the espionage racket anyone could possibly imagine.
Am I?
Yeah. You invite people to a spiritualist seance. Thousands of people believe in your kind of gimmick. Probably lots of people who have relatives in the services. Maybe even people who work in vital jobs at rocket launching bases, atomic centers. The point is, they're people who have valuable information.
Let's shut him up now.
Wait, Bob. I want to see exactly what Harvey knows.
I'm afraid Harvey knows practically everything, pal. Under the effect of the seance, people will do a lot of talking, especially under the emotional strain of it. Bob here plays the role of the voice from beyond and prods your victims into speaking up. Works around a little scraps of information that are worth plenty. Then I'd say you sell what you know. To whatever foreign government cares to bid for it. To the highest bidder, of course.
Take him down to the cellar, Bob.
Get rid of him?
However you like, but see that he is very dead.
Go on, Harvey. Remember, I'm right behind you. The cellar's that way. Start walking down that stairway.
You heard him, Harvey?
Yeah, I heard him.
Get moving. Down the stairway. That's it. Keep going.
I heard.
There in that room, officer.
The loudspeaker. Someone's at the mic in the other room.
Go in there. Take all your men. Hurry.
Who's talking to that loudspeaker? Where are the cops?
Look, Bob. See. Up there?
Where?
There.
Oh!
Greg smashed Bob and knocked him unconscious. Donaldo, completely rattled, began to duck out a rear door. Then, in the hallway downstairs.
Gail, where are the police?
There aren't any, Greg. Come on, let's get out of here.
What?
I didn't dare call the police, Greg. I didn't know if there'd be time. There wasn't anything I could do. I was alone in the other room, and then I saw the microphone. Oh, the one you told me about, that they used for being ghosts. So I became a sort of a ghost, that's all.
You must have made a very attractive one in that blue dress.
I made believe the police had come. I figured it would distract that fellow Bobby long enough for you to give him one of your Greg Collins specials.
You go phone the police. I'll keep an eye on this house.
Don't go away. In just a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case. Later, Greg and I went back to the hotel and told Sheila Graham what had happened.
That's the whole story, Miss Graham.
Did you find any evidence about the murder of poor Mr. Mondesa?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, don't worry, Sheila. Just because that devil Donaldo hypnotized you into confessing, you won't be held.
I didn't find any evidence that Mr. Donaldo killed Mr. Mondesa because he didn't do it.
What do you mean?
Neither Mr. Donaldo nor his friend Bobby had anything to do with the death of Mondesa.
But then who did kill him, Greg?
You've been told who killed him already, Gail. The killer confessed a long time ago.
But you mean Sheila?
Lock the door, Gail. Miss Graham, you were telling the truth when you walked into my office and said you killed Mondesa. Is that correct?
I was hypnotized. I was tricked into this. And you believe I'm guilty.
You weren't hypnotized by Donaldo, Miss Graham. When I was there, his pal Bobby said Donaldo hadn't tried hypnotizing anyone for months. Besides, Donaldo admitted he couldn't do it if he tried. He's no good at it.
That's not evidence.
Isn't it? You were tied up with that espionage setup, weren't you, Miss Graham? You must have been.
Greg, why should she want to kill Mondesa? It doesn't make sense.
In a way, it doesn't, no. She hadn't any motive for killing Mondesa at all. Not a reason in the world.
What?
Sounds queer, eh, girl? Absolutely no motive. You see, this was murder once removed.
What do you mean?
Murder by proxy. Miss Graham was rather clever. She knew if she killed Mondesa, she might very easily get the rap for it pinned on Donaldo, who hated him. Then she went even further. She figured by staging the post-hypnosis act, she'd get us on her side.
Oh.
If you'll excuse the expression, that way she'd have a very good detective working for her to convict Donaldo. She'd get the state to do away with Donaldo, see? But if she killed him herself, she'd be suspected. Very beautifully rigged, Miss Graham, but not quite perfect.
You have an ingenious husband, Mrs. Collins.
I had the police pick up Donaldo. Now I'm calling him about you, Miss Graham. Are you going to try matching your story against mine?
No. No, I'm not. As you said, I'm not exactly stupid.
Tell me, why did you want Donaldo to die? You were in on a very cushy racket, probably cleaning up.
It was a kind of insanity, I guess. It was the game I was in. I loved the excitement of it. Mondesa was getting too close to the real answers. Your husband was right, Mrs. Collins. I had a good scheme to get rid of everybody this way. Just wasn't good enough, I guess.
Just sit there, Miss Graham. Hand me that phone, Gail. Tommy rang the police.
After we turned Sheila in, Greg and I went home to our apartment with that exquisite, dreamy picture window view of San Francisco Bay. Greg didn't relax as usual, though. He'd collected a pile of mysterious things.
What's this, Gail?
Greg Collins, what are you doing with all that junk?
I am about to do a very fancy trick. I read about it in a book by the great Mondesa. Now, you take these six glasses, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put them in a row, this way. And then you put the playing cards on top, like this.
Uh-huh. Now what?
Then the black cloth is thrown over the whole thing. So? Now,
Yes?
Now, turn out the lights.
Okay.
Now, go over to the window.
Right.
Keep your eyes on the stars up there. See them?
Uh-huh.
Next.
What's next?
Next, you kiss me.
Oh, remarkable trick, Mr. Collins. Remarkable. It is magic, isn't it? Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed our story. Be sure to visit us again next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
Welcome back. Yeah, this was something else. So this guy was a phony spiritualist who would pretend to hypnotize people even though he didn't actually know how because he'd read from a book. And the woman who committed the murder actually was trying to frame them and hoping that the phony spiritualist wouldn't implicate her because, yeah, this one doesn't work. I think at its core, the episode had an interesting twist idea where she shows up proclaiming her innocence, and then it turns out she wasn't hypnotized. But the idea that the phony spiritualist didn't know how to hypnotize people, that doesn't quite work. I also kind of even wonder about his overall plot, which is to sell the presence of personnel aboard ships, which would be great if, for a foreign power, if the U.S. were engaged in active warfare, but probably a lot less useful otherwise, which kind of makes me wonder if this was something that was taken and adapted from in Adventures of the Abbots script from the 1940s. Now, we do have the Abbott series from 1955, but there was an Abbott series from the 1940s where this might have made some sense and motivation. So, yeah, this one was just way off for me, so hopefully next week's will be better. All right, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you so much to Russell. Russell has been one of our Patreon supporters since November 2016, currently supporting us at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Russell. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Rocky Jordan, and next Tuesday, another episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.